Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, because he laid aside his glory, become a man, and died for us and me, Lord, and we are saved. Father, we are eternally grateful. Father, we pray that, Lord, you fill this place with your presence and glory. Help me to share your words with love, clarity, and authority. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before we dive into the text is what we have just read just now in Luke. It's called the Song of Mary. Before we go into the text, I feel that we need to understand what's surrounding it. Else, we are not able to appreciate. There's a lot of reading. Right. Okay. The gospel started with an announcement made by angel Gabriel to Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, verse 11. Zechariah is a priest. He's in old age. They don't have children. They have given up to have children anyway. And the announcements came and said that he and his wife are going to have a baby boy. The name is called John. This baby boy is going to be special. He needs to observe special diet. He cannot drink strong drink. Second, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Third, his calling is to prepare the way for the Lord. It means to prepare for a way for Jesus Christ. The next thing we know, Elizabeth was conceived with this baby. 6 months later, look at the chart. The same angel went and appeared to Mary, a young girl, a virgin. Said that she will conceive a son named Jesus. This Jesus is a son of the Most High God. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom has no end. The second baby, he will be much greater than the first baby. So when the angel said that to Mary, Mary responded by saying, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your words." And the angels departed from her. Verse 38 is one of my favorite verses. "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." After this, immediately Mary went and looked for Elizabeth. When he reached her house, the next verse, Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruits of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And at this point, Mary sang the song that we read just now. All right. So at this point, Jesus was not born, probably just conceived. 9 months later, Jesus was born. There's a lot of information, I know. Let's digest a bit before we move on. First, we are dealing with a virgin birth. We are not dealing with one miracle here, we are dealing with two. We are not dealing with one baby, we are dealing with two. The first baby, John, is to prepare the way for the second baby. Amazing, isn't it? This is not just a display of power, but also a display of wisdom and wonder. Who can think of doing such thing? Not send one baby, send two baby, where the first baby is to prepare the way for the second baby, Jesus Christ. The second thing that we need to be mindful of is we are dealing with the fulfillment of God's promises. Virgin birth is not just a miracle. Virgin birth is a sign, it's a messianic sign. It's a sign of a Savior that is coming. If we refer to Isaiah chapter 7, 14, one of the signs, a clear sign that God gives to us that to identify the Messiah is the virgin birth. There's so many babies born in a day. How do we know which one? God said, okay, I give you a sign. This sign is the mother is going to be a virgin. The Chinese say, 没走开哇, right? You will sure be able to identify this. Because it's impossible to do. So the virgin birth is not just a miracle to display God's power. It's a sign, it's a marker, it's a pointer that we can identify, okay, this is the Messiah. So if anyone come and claim that they are Messiah, you know what kind of question you should ask him? Is your mother a virgin when she gave birth to you? That's what you should ask, right? Because this is something not that person can manufacture or produce, right? This is a sign. The third thing I want to say about virgin birth is this is, we are dealing with God here. First, we are dealing with two babies. Now we are dealing with the sign. The last thing is we are dealing with God here. Why am I saying that? You ask me what is the big idea of a virgin birth, I will tell you, the big idea of a virgin birth is God's idea. It's another way of saying that virgin birth is not, Jesus is not because someone decided to have a baby and that baby happened to be Jesus. You got what I'm saying? It's not a product of a family planning. Someone decided to have a baby. Oh, this is the Jesus. Huh? And he grew up and suddenly discovered his calling that he is a Messiah. That's not the case. From day one, the whole event is carefully crafted and planned. So Jesus' birth was not an accident. It's not a product of man. If you read the text, you know that Jesus' birth was perfectly timed, perfectly planned, and perfectly executed. Well, if you are part of a plan, if you are Mary, what do you do? What do you do? Well, you worship, bro. What can you do? So there we have the Song of Mary. The Song of Mary is basically a song of worship. Another name for this song is called the Magnificat, right? Why? Because in the Latin Bible, Vulgate, the word magnificent or Magnificat is the first word order. In English, it's the third. My soul magnified is the third. Well, what do you mean by to magnify? To magnify is just a verb describing an action. To magnify is a verb describing an action that comes with intensity. To magnify is to praise and glorify God in an extraordinary degree. It's just more than a praise. I want to praise God to the max, to glorify God. He said, my soul magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoice in God my Savior. You know the world say, many things we can fake it till we make it. Have you heard of this? I find that worship is something that is very difficult to fake it till you make it. Why? Because worship is a byproduct of who we are, not what we do. Got that? Worship is something coming from inside, not just what we do. It's not that I come with Sunday, I do this, you know, I sing for 10 minutes. Worship is more than that. Worship is a byproduct of who we are. Worship is an outpouring of your adoration and your gratitude to God. Have you worked with anyone that lack of gratitude? I'm sure you have lah, your boss, your children lah, your spouse lah, your CG member lah. People who don't have gratitude, who cannot appreciate what you do. I know that y'all be wondering what is that, right? Okay, I'm gonna show you. What is this? It's a calendar. I just found that official name for this. I would say that a man who doesn't know to appreciate is like this calendar. No matter how much water you pour into it, it doesn't hold. You can run a river through it and it doesn't hold any water. Right? It will never overflow. It will never reach a point that he will say thank you to you. You'll never overflow. Without a sense of gratitude or appreciation, you cannot build any meaningful relationship. I don't care if it's husband or wife, parent or children. You'll just never have a good, lasting relationship if that relationship doesn't have element of appreciation and gratitude. That includes our relationship with God. You don't even thank Him. What more would you worship Him? Right? The question is, how can we worship God in spirit and in truth? Without faking it. That comes from the heart. That comes from a sincere outpouring of our adoration and gratitude to God. How can we do it without faking this? Worship comes from adoration and gratitude and appreciation, a range of positive emotion that includes. But the question, how can we have this layer? That's where the Song of Mary gives us some clue. The Song of Mary gives us three clues. How we can develop that sense of adoration and appreciation to God. The first clue that we can discover is in verse 48. He said, for he, which is God, had looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. The first thing that we learn is Mary know her standing before God. Knowing who you are and where you stand before God, it's the one single most important knowledge you need to know about yourself. Without this single knowledge will change everything about in your life. I'm not exaggerating. If you know who you are and where you stand before God, immediately it will humble you. Immediately you will get rid of all your sense of entitlement. You will change how you think and talk about God. Over the years, people keep challenging me and saying, God is everywhere. Why must I come to church? I worship at home also can. I watch YouTube also can. God is not limited. God is everywhere. You know what? The reason that you think in this way is not because your theology is wrong. You are right. God is everywhere. You are right. He can minister to you in any place. What's wrong is your knowledge about yourself is wrong. You don't even know who you are and who you are talking to. Have you ever asked your boss, why 8 o'clock I must come to work? 8:30 cannot. Have you tried that? Why must I have your approval before I can work from home? Can I just decide that I work from home? Why my exam, 50 is a passing mark? Why 45 cannot? Have you ever tried that? What's the problem here? You don't call the shot. You are not the one that decides. That's what. And we have a cheek to God, tell God, God, today I worship from home. Huh? Why? Because you don't know where you stand. That's why. But Mary was different. Mary knew exactly that she was a nobody from day one. She was poor. She wasn't educated. She was young. She was lonely. Yet, she received this grace, this mercy from God. This is the first key that you need to discover if you want to worship God. The second, she said, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. The second thing you need to know God. Mary highlight these three characters of God. He's mighty, holy, and merciful. You know, might have to do with power, so that part you know, all right? I'm not going to explain much. But in the Bible, might also has to do with possibility. When we say God is mighty, we are saying that he's able to introduce new possibility. He's able to change things around. He's able to change the status quo. Remember Gideon? The story of Gideon that fight against 300, the Midianites. How many army that Gideon has? Come on, Bible quiz. Gideon, how many army that Gideon has? 300. Okay, I know that part you know. But how many the enemy has? This one more difficult. We usually remember 300, right? It's 135,000. That's the number. In terms of ratio, it's 1 against 450 people. It's like, imagine, I fight against all of you, plus those Chinese congregation. Got chance or not? Come on. No chance. Once again, 450. But God is mighty. he can introduce new possibility that to turn the situation around. Mary witnessed this power of God. Who can command an angel to tell you a good news? What is the possibility a virgin can conceive? Zero. But God make it happen. What sort of God we have? We have a mighty God. The second element that Mary highlighted is, he said, God not only mighty, but he also holy. We tend to apply holiness only to moral purity, right? There's a holy person. But in the Bible usage, holy includes more than moral purity. It includes that, but it's more than that. The fundamental idea of holiness or holy is being set apart. Or the idea of transcendent. And holy can apply to many things. It can apply to a day. God works 6 days. The seventh day, he say he wants to set it to be holy. You can attribute to things. We have holy temple. When God talked to Moses, he said, you are standing on holy ground. You can even attribute to a nation. We are a holy nation. So the opposite of holy is common or profane or ordinary. When we say God is holy, his name is holy, we are expressing more than he holds a high moral standard. We are saying that God is not common. He is extraordinary. I like the Malay. Luar biasa. Tuhan yang luar biasa. It's not something that you can anticipate. It's not someone that you can second guess. He's not that kind of God because he's a holy God. The third part is the beautiful one. Her soul magnified the Lord because her God is merciful. If God is only mighty and holy, we sinner, do we dare to ever come close to him? Come on. But Mary said, this God is not only mighty and holy, he is merciful. And because of that, we can come close to God and won't die. Hey, you say, wait. Here it says that it's mercy for those who fear him. You ask me to come close to God and ask me to fear God. So, what should I do? Should I come close or stay afar? I want to show you a text in Deuteronomy. Right? He said, these are the commands, decrees, and law the Lord your God direct me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children, after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. How? By keeping all his decrees and commands that I gave you, and so that you may enjoy long life. There's no contradiction here. To fear the Lord is not asking you to stay away from the Lord. To fear the Lord is asking you to stay away from sin. Stay close to God by obeying his commandment and decrees. As we look at the text, we start to understand why Mary magnified the Lord, right? Because God is worthy. All our worship and adoration and delight, because he's mighty, holy, and merciful. The last key that we discover is Mary knows what God is doing. He tells us not only she knows God, she knows what God is doing in this world. You read the text. He has shown strength with his arm. God is demonstrating his power. How? In three areas. He has scattered the proud in the thought of their hearts. Number one. Second, he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Number three, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. I'll give some disclaimer here. The Bible is not against intellectual ability or position of power or wealth. You read carefully, the scripture is against those proud in the thought of their hearts. Those who put their confidence in the ability to acquire knowledge or to reason. I know a lot of people hate God, right? Your friend hate God. But do you know what God hates? Another quiz. In Proverbs, he said, there are six things that the Lord hates. Seven, they are an abomination to him. Guess what is first in the list? Haughty eye. Haughty eye is the eye that are lifted up in arrogance. The modern term is eye rolling. Still believe in the Bible. We are in 2024. Still believe that the world is created by God. That pride that derives from knowledge, rank, wealth, and self-confidence, God hates that haughty eye. Remember, our God is holy. I know the world prizes self-confidence and self-sufficiency. But God hates it. The world thinks this is good. God may not think so. The world thinks that humble is weak and useless. Yet God protected them. These are the people going to make it to the end. If you have lived long enough, like me, you will see entity come and go. You'll see politicians come and go. You'll think that this person, no one can touch him, he's invincible. There he fell. You see this rich guy, nothing can touch him, he owns everything, he controls everything. There they fall. The Chinese have a saying, I fearful I don't know how to translate this. Sin yao sin po, ngok yao ngok po. Ye hai mei po le, hengwai si san mei to. Have you heard that? It means that you do good, you have good return. You do evil, you will have evil return. In case you do not receive any good or evil return, it's just shown that the time is not yet. It's not that you get away. I totally disagree with that. Why? Because that is the display of God's power. That God is going to bring about a great reversal. He's going to scatter the proud. He's going to bring down the mighty, exalt the humble, and he will fill the hungry and send the rich away empty. That is what's happening. It's not just, sin yao sin po. It's not just that. It's God is working. And Mary saw that. Amazing. The last thing she say is, Mary saw God's power and God's mercy. He said he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he spoke to our father, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. How does God demonstrate his mercy. One word, remember. God remember his covenant that made to Abraham. What is the covenant that made to Abraham? In Acts, where the preaching of Apostle Peter, he said, the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring, singular, this is referred to Jesus, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. This is where the covenant, the gospel opened up. It's no longer limited to Israel, but to all the family of the earth to be blessed. How? By turning every one of you from your wickedness. It's amazing. We come to the end of a song, and this song was written by a teenager. Mary, at this point, will range from 13 to 17 years old. But a good guess is she's about 14 to 16. So we started by saying that how can we worship God without faking it? Well, go through the checklist. You must remember where you stand before God. Don't be like a colander. No matter how much God pour his blessing and mercy on you, you never see it. Second, be watchful of that haughty eye. Stop acting like you are the one that calling the shot. Recognizing that you need God more than God needs you. Third, learn from Mary. Fear God and stay humble. Number two, know your God. Sometimes we read the Bible, but in our mind, we have a very low view of God. Our confession is very great, but in our thinking, we have a very low view of God. Either our God is not very willing, or he's not very kind. Not very willing because he won't answer your prayer. Before you pray, you already think that God won't answer. But this is our feeling, but this is not the truth. Okay? The truth is our God is mighty. He's holy. And he's merciful. If you feel that you are lowly and poor, you are nobody, ngam sai la. You know, it's just nice that you are the target of the mercy. All you need to do is fear God. Because God's mercy is directed to those who fear him. Finally, well, know what God is doing. I find that this one area that a lot of Christians neglected. We know God, but we don't have no idea what God is doing in this world. You know, a lot of young people left the church because of this. It's not that they don't know God. They learn about God since Sunday school. They know all about God. But what they don't know is they cannot reconcile what is God doing in this world. They are asking questions like, why are there so many suffering? Why doesn't God protect his own people? We cannot see God is what God is doing. It's not that we don't know God. And over time, we have this distance between what we know about God and what we actually believe about God. When that becomes stronger, we leave the church. Because it makes no sense for me to worship God. I don't want to learn the idea about God. I want to know whether this God is actually working. I've said this many times, I'm going to say it again, even though we don't have time. God's primary purpose, God's primary purpose is not to get rid of suffering. God's primary purpose is to get rid of sin. It's too easy to just get rid of suffering. To get rid of suffering where sins remain, that is a very bad idea. Don't you think so? No consequences of sin, but sins remain. What a terrible world that we're going to be in. The question is, can we see the redemption plan of God at work? Not just in your life, in this world. Can we see that the root cause of sin or suffering is not pain, it's sin? We need to know more than just the conceptual God. We need to know what God is doing now and be part of that plan. In closing, I hear many complaints that people don't believe the gospel because God didn't do anything to stop the world from rotting, from worsening. He has forgiven us. He has left us. What a lie. The gospel is the exact opposite of that. Because Christmas is a celebration that God remembers. That's what you're celebrating. That God remembers His mercy and His covenant made to Abraham, that He will bless the whole world by turning them away from sin. Sorry, too excited. I didn't give you the notes. So what are we celebrating? We are celebrating that God remembers. The second thing, what are we celebrating? We are celebrating that of God's power. Romans 1:16, it says that, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." The gospel is not about the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. That's the difference. It's not about, is the God. You want to know gospel? You want to know God's power? Look into the gospel, because that is the power of God. The third, Christmas is a celebration of God's love. Salvation for us is easy. For God is costly. Jesus Christ have to empty Himself, have to humble Himself, to be part of us, to go through the pain of human experience and die as criminal to deliver us from sin and death. You know, sharing the gospel is like giving your friend a priceless voucher. You know that? What do you mean by that? When you receive a voucher, what does it tell you? Someone already paid the price. Right? When you got a voucher, whether you use it or not, someone already paid the price. The ball is on your court. Whether you're going to redeem it, you don't have to worry whether the guy was going to pay for it or not. It already paid. I want to invite the worship team. So that I hope that, you know, every Christmas will be a better Christian by growing greater understanding about ourselves, where we stand before God, greater understanding about who God is, and what He's doing. Because if you had that, adoration will come. If you had that, gratitude will come. Remember I said in worship, you cannot fake it till you make it. It won't work. This is something that you cannot make it by faking it. Because God can see your heart. But on the other hand, why should we fake it? If you can really have it, why should you fake it? The baby is here. Jesus is here. You can have it. You don't have to fake it. Can I hear amen?